Today is really an exciting day, I believe, for this house, because what you have done pretty much invisibly has produced a great harvest. And, you know, eternity will only reveal the fruit, perhaps, of your prayers and the things that you've done in Christ and faith. But sometimes on this earth, God gives us opportunity to see what He has done through our lives. And so today we want to give glory to the Lord, but we also want to make you aware of what you have been doing in Uganda and several other nations. And so we're going to just kind of go through our report here. I'm going to give part of it, and Angela's going to come and give part of it. And it's not really possible for us to share even a fraction of what took place there over a period of about 2 weeks. The schedule is very compact, and there are so many amazing things happening all the time. We can't even keep track of all of the awesome things that God does. And so we get reports while we're there. We get reports when we're leaving, and we get reports after we get home for a number of months. And I wanted you to hear this because you've been sowing every week into the work in Uganda, and you sowed into the conference this time, and all of the things that are going on there that God has brought about. And so, first of all, let me say thank you for praying. Prayer is powerful. And you don't realize in this context how powerful it is until you get there and you're on the edge of some situation and you know that you don't have a history for what to do. God has to turn up to make the difference. And He did time and time and time again. And so we want to share a bit about that. And so we'll move to the next slide there. Just kind of give you an overview that our ministry there was primarily in four parts. First of all, in Kampala, then in Bushenyi and Ishaka, which is a small town next to a larger town, the Ishaka, is where Peter Kamanzi's church is. And then we went north to Adjamani, where Gary and Louise Short have the most amazing ministry amongst the South Sudanese refugees. And then some of us came home, the weak ones, I guess, came home. And the strong ones stayed and ministered for several more days in Kampala. But the team members that went, that you sent, and that you financed and you sowed into were, number one, Mark Maloney. Mark Maloney, most of you would know, he's the vicar at Holy Trinity Church right down here, Anglican Church right here in Wheelstone. And he went along with us. And also Yao Gamfi, who is an assistant pastor of a church over here in Edgware, or Boreham Wood. What he's described as a kind of a Ghanaian Pentecostal church. And both of them went, they had never been to anything like this. And to listen to them tell it, it was revolutionary in their lives. They had never seen or actually been involved with anything like what happened to them in this trip. And they weren't saddened or maddened. But they were exhilarated and blessed and inspired, and I believe changed forever. If they were here, they'd give their own testimony. And then there was myself, and you know Pastors Dean and Judy Elders from Seattle went with us. And then probably the star, no, Angela, who did an outstanding job both in Adjamani and in Kampala. And the first place we went was to meet with a Christian organization that God had connected us with very divinely And that is ALARM, which is an acronym for African Leadership and Reconciliation Ministries. Next slide there. ALARM works in Burundi, DRC, Kenya, Rwanda, South Sudan, Tanzania, and Uganda. There it is. It's coming up there on the and next slide. They're primarily involved in training and equipping African leaders, providing them with tools and knowledge and so on. And we went to their offices. They received us so graciously. They had actually gotten connected with us on a small plane flight in which Dean and Judy and Angela and Brian, I think one other person, were on. They heard our team talking about what had happened in Ishaka, and because they're involved in reconciliation, they thought the leader thought, "Wow, they're talking my language," and so that prompted our connection. And the man who leads that ministry came and met with us in London, and was so wanting us to connect with him and put our efforts together to see God do great and awesome things among the nations. And so we met with them. We had a great time, and we're going to just watch how things develop with ALARM, because they operate at so many different levels with governments and all aspects of society and tribes and so on, bringing reconciliation. Then on the 24th of August, we took the long van ride to Bushenyi. It's about 10 hours. You stop once. Did I miss something?
No, we just need to go to the next slide.
Okay. All right, so we're now in Bushenyi. All right, you can see there on the map that. Can you see Bushenyi?
No.
You need me to pray for your eyes. All right, there's an arrow that kind of moves up there. And so we took the long ride to Bushenyi. And Bushenyi is the area where Peter Kamanzi's church is, which takes us to the next slide. And you'll see two parts in this slide. There's a little video clip, both of them, on your left. On your left. You'll see the team. We're standing on the foundation of the building that we have been building. And on your right, their current building where they're meeting. So we'll see a little bit of this video clip here.
And we can that there would be a great church building here. God works with his word.
And you can see that. All right, I just want to make a little comment there. You may wonder about the building because we had been working on the foundation, but I found out when I got there that they had been required by the government to actually strengthen what we thought was already a very strong foundation. And so they had to dig down probably more than 2 meters and pour concrete further, which took a lot of time and money and effort. But praise God, that has finished now, and you will see shortly the walls going up and the roof going on as they are pursuing that. On the right-hand side, we have a little video of the Sunday morning meeting. Actually, we had another video, but we didn't get it there in time. And actually, you could have seen their existing building. It is absolutely jammed with bodies. It is jammed, and there are people around the outside. In fact, the band, the worship instruments, are all outside, including the piano, and the keyboard looks through a window to the worship leader so they can have more space inside. So when somebody says, come forward to the front, there's a very small space, but they all come. And anyway, we had a great time ministering there, and they wanted me to convey to you how much they love you. They talk about their new life family all the time. And because you have loved them, you've never seen them perhaps, but you love them and they love us. And they're so profoundly grateful. And then we went from there to the Unity Conference. There's a little video there. We can see the first video there. A portion of...
I praise you. Nexima. I honor you. You're my father. Or tata. I'm your child. You want to we are together. Twagi twahamwe.
They're quite conservative. And the next clip.
I will bless them because that will guard my heart. If I'm blessing them, if I'm loving them, I'm not gonna walk in unforgiveness. Thank you, Lord. I'm living in a new land. I'm living in a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let me just explain a little bit about that. It's a Unity Conference, called a Unity Conference. And we'd been preaching last year and this year from Psalm 133, how God commands a blessing. Where there is unity. And so we had asked everyone who had an offense against someone to come to the center. You can see there the crowd at the center. That's the center you're looking at. That's not the whole crowd. They came and they verbally prayed a prayer of releasing people from those things and asking God to cleanse them of unforgiveness. And I was in that prayer, exhorting them to send a text to make a decision to bless those persons, to guard their heart in so doing. And, you know, you do these things, it's a huge crowd, you don't know what's going on. You can sense there's a work of the Holy Spirit. But we heard and continue to hear of so many people who were healed during that part of the service, where they just released people and God just stepped in and healed their body. And we'll tell you some more about that, about the healing that took place. But one of the testimonies was a young man who came forward, and he said, as soon as Pastor Rick started preaching about forgiveness, I knew God was talking to me. So he said, I texted while he was preaching. I don't recommend that. But he said, I texted two of my friends right then, and I said, will you forgive me for X, whatever it was? And he said, they both responded that they gave me. And he said, I'll never forget this. I'm free. So one little tiny cameo of hundreds of things that took place. The next video is the Congolese. Probably one of the smaller contingents of people came from the Congo, but in a moment we'll play the video here. I want you to understand something. These people came by truck, crammed in the back of a cattle truck, body to body, standing on their luggage for 4 hours in the blazing sun because they wanted to get to this conference. I tell you, that's hunger for God. So let's see a little bit of the worship, and then I'll tell you the other part of the story. Our worship team will be practicing this next Sunday. That's Toshi on the left. That's only a snapshot of what took place all week long, and even of the Congolese. But I wanted this segment included because I wanted you to know what you've been sowing into. When they finished what you just saw, Peter had the Congolese pastor, and I don't know if you noticed the guy in red who was dancing with them, but he's the pastor. And he came out into the center, and he said with translation, they were so thrilled to be able to come to the conference because his congregation, who you saw leading the worship there, was pretty much widows and orphans from the killing and the raping and the murdering that goes on constantly in his country. They had no money. You paid for them to come. And those widows and orphans, we call them to the center. And then all the other six nations came out of their seats and gathered around them and began to pray for them. A thunder of intercession arose for their brothers and their sisters. I want you to capture this, and I can't embellish everything in this presentation. But these nations have a lot of history. And a lot of their history together isn't good. But the beautiful thing about the Unity Conference, it brings nations that have been separated and at war with each other, and tribes that have been separated and at war with each other, coming together, loving, forgiving, and worshiping God together. Eating together, sleeping in the same school or hotel or wherever. And so we gather for prayer around them. And then Peter said, let's take an offering for them. This is a part of Uganda where people are incredibly poor. Pastors make about $8 a month. But those people came all ages and put money in the offering for their brothers and sisters in the Congo. And we heard later how many of them got healed during that time. Kind of like God was saying, you came here to worship, to love your brothers and sisters. I want to show you how much I love you. And so I'm telling you this because it is the reward, the fruit of your giving, your prayer, your faith. The team, looking at the next slide, we had we went into four prisons, two men's prisons, two women's prisons, and we also had opportunity to minister to the police. And in both of these times, Mark and Yao were given that responsibility. I think we have a little video of both, well, of Mark.
What the devil had meant to have his victory, God used as his victory. God raised Jesus from the dead and gave him new life.
Mark is sharing there and just kind of taking them step by step in terms of salvation. And then he gave them a word about how, because if they know Christ, they represent the Father, that even though they have the task of maintaining order and safety in the country, they must do it with the Father's heart and not harshly. And they received the message, and the chief came and spoke afterward, and he said, this is the message that we have needed. And obviously, if he said that, then must have been a need for it. And the next one, we don't have a clip for, but that's Yao there with his back. He spoke also, an opportunity to minister on the radio. Next slide there. We went to, well, I guess the first slide you're looking at there with Dean and Judy out front is the women's prison. Judy ministered powerfully to the women. Quite a number of them received Christ, and quite a number of them got healed when she ministered in both women's prisons. There's the five of us crammed in this little tiny studio. It was, you know, you go and you do radio. We're not so familiar with radio here, but this part of Africa and some of the surrounding nations that are contiguous to Uganda are very poor people. They don't have television. They might see television in a shop, but they don't have television. But they do have radio on their phones. They don't have smartphones, but they have a small phone like you used to have a long time ago. But they get radio on it. And so the message goes out. Well, we had two opportunities for radio ministry. The first time, 156 people called in to say they had prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. The second time, 456 people called in to say they had received Christ as their Savior. Many other testimonies of healings and things that took place on the radio. One Central African Republic church leader was listening to the radio, and he stopped his service and he said, this is what should be our service today. And so they I don't know how they amplified it, but that church that day, that church service was what was taking place on the radio. And they were deeply grateful. Another pastor called in, and he said to Peter he was greatly ministered to by the radio ministry. And Peter said, so where are you from? He said, I'm in Nigeria. He said, no, you're not in Nigeria. He said, the radio people say that the radio signal doesn't go that far. And he said, well, he said, I'm a pastor. I'm a man of God. I wouldn't lie to you. And he says, I'll tell you what was in the radio broadcast. And he was exactly right. So it's kind of like God said, okay, there went a radio signal where it wasn't supposed to go. So just so much took place. And then we went from there to Adjumani, which was about 10 degrees warmer. You can see a little arrow there where we flew, we drove back to Entebbe and then flew from there to Adjumani. We got off there, and we have a little video there of Hope and Grace Ministries, where Gary and Louise Short are. I've known them some years. Dean has known them longer. But they've been working with the South Sudanese refugees for many years. What is it, 500,000, Ange? Why don't you come and take this part?
When we got off the plane, because you take a little plane from... I joined the team at this point when we got to... They came back to Entebbe, and we got on a plane at the Kajansi airfield, and it goes, little plane goes up north. And when we got off the plane, dropped our bags at the hotel and went off to one of the older, nicer refugee camps, Borali 1. And you can see a couple of photos here. And several times to this place, and they always remind me when I went back last year of, you know, the deliverance that took place there a number of years ago when they were having kind of a demonic outbreak, and then we'd gone and a whole load of them got saved and baptized, and then the demons haven't been harassing them since then. So they still remind us, no, these demons have not come back. It's a great place. We've settled here, and they've planted several churches, many of their discipleship groups running out of there, and they're led by one of their awesome leaders. Sorry, there's a little ring from my mic in this one. They're led by one of the most awesome leaders who is former LRA himself and a wonderful man of God. And actually, just we sat down with him in the church building in Borali 1 there, and it's so beautiful to hear the testimony of what God is doing, not only through his life, but through the lives of so many of their other group leaders there. Truly, it's overwhelming to be in the presence of these people, because they just lay down their lives for the Lord every day. Every single one of the leaders in the ministry there has experienced incredible redemption and awesome miracles to get them where they are. And they've just turned around and sowed their lives back into what God is doing. They haven't said, right, we're just going to try and find somewhere more prosperous and easy to do life, because it isn't particularly easy to do life there. It's challenging. And yet they've said, no, we are sowing our lives into this. Well, there are many, many groups, and we're going to show you a whole kind of video presentation in a minute of what Hope and Grace is doing there through the DMM discipleship making movement. They have many groups that then start other groups that start other groups, and then several groups come together and form a church. And so they've got 40 plus churches already that they've planted there. And I think 1,800 discipleship-making groups, and the average number in those groups is 8 people. So it's a lot of people getting saved and giving. And these are refugees, most of them from South Sudan, some from Sudan, and some from DRC. And so from Sudan, they tend to either be from Darfur or the Nuba Mountains. And people have just fled, and yet God has an awesome plan for them. And because these people will be the key to rebuilding their nations as peace comes. So it began there with a leaders conference. And you'll see in the next slide, there's Yao ministering and Mark. And then the third thing is actually a clip. You can see Patrick, if you play that one. It's just...
It's well. Right. Praise the Lord.
So he was just sharing about how his back had just been healed, and or they were praying for his back. And we've had ministry on all various subjects, but Dean was teaching about the anointing, and my dad was talking about healing the sick. And also we had a real teaching on kingdom finance, and that was just awesome as well, because they've been believing God for a breakthrough. These are people who have nothing, and they really need God to break through in that area in their lives. They really need, you can imagine if you fled with everything, you know, maybe not collecting everything you've got, and then people are in this camp situations. The ones you saw are one of the nicer camps, but actually some of them are quite difficult. And so people desperately needed this word, and it was well received, and there were Q&A times as well. In addition to that, I forgot to put in the, because there are so many things, but there was a couple of radio slots as well. Mark did one of them, I did one of them, and they have radio program that goes out through all the camps, and the people listen to it, so it's really quite exciting. People then call in, and you're praying for them over the radio, which was a new experience for me, and that was awesome. Then some of the team went back down to Kampala, and some of us stayed behind and did the ladies' conference, which is this one. I've got three different videos, so we'll just play one after the other. Go for it. We've got some moves. Okay, next one. Okay, and the next one. So anybody looking to learn some new dance moves can head on up there and pick up a few tips. But no, really, God moved powerfully in the ladies' conference as well. And there was just such an awesome presence of God and so many lives touched. And at both the leaders' conference, where they're training the leaders, and the ladies' conference, which is mostly women leaders, that was really a time where God is not only ministering to them, but equipping them as they minister to so many others. So it's not only what we're pouring into their lives, but how it multiplies out to so many other lives. And, you know, the last time we were there in October, the nice thing is you get to see fruit from one time to the next. So a couple of people gave their lives to the Lord at the hotel we were staying at last time. And if you go to the next slide, you can see this is, they got baptized in the hotel pool. Well, one of them, he's still working there. His name's Tony. He's an awesome guy. He's still going strong. He greeted us, and he was like so enthusiastic, and he's still going for God. And the other guy, you'll see him, he's not there anymore, he's working somewhere else, but he came to the church on the Sunday. If you go to the next slide, on the Sunday, Dean went to Bibia, which is an area where there's a camp near the border, and I went to Marapoda, because this is a church I've been going to, well, several times now. And the first time I went, they were meeting under a mango tree. And then the next time I went, they had the foundation in, and this time they've got walls and a roof. And so you can see the other guy when it shows the clip, and it kind of pans into the congregation. This is just the beginning of the worship time. He has come in. He's one of the early people, and he's the one with the blue coat. And you watch him worship; it's just awesome. So I was thrilled to see him again as well, and had a chance to pray with him after the service. Oh, we might want to turn the sound on. Oh, go back again so you can see him. He's the guy in the light blue jacket. Play that one again if you can. Maybe if you press the up. There he is in the blue jacket. That's very different than the first time I met him. And so they were kind of like our church, so I feel at home because everybody comes in gradually throughout the service. And so... but And then here are some of my friends just chatting afterwards. This is the neighborhood where the church is. There's a lot of witchcraft and alcoholism, but God's redeeming things. So play the next one, my friends. These are some of my friends. And yeah. And so now I'd like to go to this Smilebox video, and then we can come back into the presentation. And the reason why I want to show you this is I want to show you what Hope and Grace are doing. And it's very broad. It encompasses different nations. They've got some groups in eastern Uganda on the border with Kenya. They've got some stuff starting in Tanzania, and they've got stuff in DRC. But really, you know, it's amazing that God has allowed them to base themselves out of Uganda. When I first met them, they were based in South Sudan. And their team, their leadership team, is comprised of northern Ugandans and South Sudanese people. And these people love God and they love people. So just watch this clip and see if you can...
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Creation groaning.
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
Well, I showed you that because I'd like us to pray for South Sudan. And I'd like us to pray for God to bring peace there. I pray that this video prompted God's compassion in your heart. But it's not only compassion that God's looking for, it's faith. For many years I prayed for South Sudan out of desperation, and I had no faith. But God has settled my heart in what his promises are for that nation. It's the youngest nation on the earth. And I'd like us also to pray for Uganda and also for DRC. You know, I said to the pastor of the church in Makerere that we went to afterwards, you know, the thing I love about this country, Uganda, is how you've opened your arms to so many people from South Sudan. And he said, you know, that's why I'm proud to call myself a Ugandan. We not only have embraced the South Sudanese, but the Congolese and the Rwandese. We've embraced these people. God hasn't brought these people out just so they can live their lives as broken people. He's brought them and he's doing a work of restoration and healing so that as stability comes to the nations around, these people can go back and rebuild. And you know, every South Sudanese person that I spoke to has hope for their country, every one of them. Believes that God can bring peace and establish his kingdom there in an awesome way. In the natural, it doesn't look great. And one of my friends came down from Juba, where he lives. He works with HIV/AIDS patients in the military there. And it's a tough situation. The roads are pretty out to go out of Juba, even to anywhere but south, but northern Uganda, the roads in just about every direction not safe. And there's a lot of looting going on in Juba at the moment by people who haven't been paid for many months, as often happens if you have a gun in your job and you're not getting paid. You find another way to survive. And yet this man is there pouring out his life. And he's full of hope in the midst of such. And so I want to read to you something, and we're going to rise up and pray. Please stand. If there's any Ugandans here, please come to the front. We want to bless your nation for how you are blessing. I think I saw Joyce here earlier. And if there are any Congolese people here, I'd like to invite you to the front as well and stand in for your nation. I'll stand in place for South Sudan unless there's any South Sudanese people here. Yes, you stand in for DRC. We're going to speak blessing on your nation. We're going to speak blessing on South Sudan. I want to remind you of something. Psalm 46 says this. In verse 9, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He does it. He does it. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And the very next verse is one that I've come to a lot when I think about South Sudan. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Nowhere is it more challenging to be still and know that he is God than when we look at what's happening in the nations of the earth. And yet it's in that context that he says this. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And so I'd just like, if the ministry team can come around us, please. Could just come around us. And everybody now begin to lift up your voice, pray in the Spirit. This is one of the most exciting parts of the Christian life, that God can use us to make a difference in all different countries around the world without even traveling there. You can make a difference because he promises it. He is the one who makes war cease to the ends of the earth. God is the one who does it, and he uses our prayers. So begin to lift up your voice and just pray in the Spirit right now.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you that you see the song of every nation. And Father, we bless Uganda today. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks, Father, that they have opened their lives and their hearts to their brothers and sisters, people that they didn't even know from the other nations. And Father, we thank you that the word has gone out. And I thank you that you will complete what you've begun, even for the unity that you have in mind, the blessing, the open heaven that you have in mind for Uganda. Because Father, we give you praise because we know that you began a good work in that country, that you will complete it. And that Father, that they are a jewel, that country is a jewel, and that what you are doing in that place, Father, will be replicated in countries throughout the earth. And Father, we bless South Sudan today. Father, we praise you that you are the God that takes the ashes, and you promise that you give beauty for ashes. Father, you promise that you give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And Father, we ask that you would strengthen every Christian, all of our brothers and our sisters that have had the courage and the ability to be able to stay in the nation, even at the moment. And Father, we say thank you for peace. We thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, it will spring up. Lord, it will spring up. Father, even as you speak about in Isaiah 35, you said that the desert will blossom as a rose. Father, you speak about the crocus. And Father, we bless DRC today. We thank you that it's only you that can take the broken pieces. But Father, you make beautiful mosaics out of the brokenness. Father, you bring pictures and cameos of your glory Lord, and bring transformation, Lord, that only you can bring. Father, we bless the nation of DRC today. We send a word of healing, Father, a word of strengthening to every pastor, to every church. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, even for what was received in the Unity Conference, for the people that were there, thank you for what was heard over the radio. Father, thank you that there is a springing up. There is a springing up. And Father, what you began, you will complete. Father, in the name of Jesus, we cancel every assignment of the enemy against this nation. And we say to you, DRC, you have a song. You have a song. Because, Father, there's a promise that, Lord, every nation and every tongue and every tribe, Father, will be in heaven worshipping you. So, Father, we ask that you send laborers to DRC. You'll raise up the warriors, Father, within that place. The Lord, you'll send back even people that have come, even to this nation, that they will go back to be part of rebuilding. Father, we give you praise. We give you worship, Father, because this is just the beginning. In Jesus' name. And Father, I just bless the Central, Central African Republic. Father, you know that it rose in my intercession when I didn't even hardly knew nothing about it. But Father, you sent your word to it. And Father, we bless them today too, Father. And we thank you for the song of that nation. Father, thank you that we join together with our brothers and our sisters. And we give you praise. We give you worship. We give you all adoration, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We say amen to that, Lord. Amen. May it be. Thank you. Don't stop praying. It's working. You can go ahead and have a seat. Okay, so say goodbye to our friends who we love in Adjumani. You can see a few of them there, and then you'll see the arrow. We came down to Kampala, and it was Dean and Judy and I. And we ministered at Makerere Church there. There was a ladies' conference. And I'll just show you a couple of the videos. They had some awesome choirs and dancing. Some of the choirs and the music ministry is just, it's impossible to capture on video. And hundreds of women came together for this conference. Let's just take a look at some of the rejoicing. I mean, they don't just sit in their seats, man. Yeah. God just really moved also there. Dean got roped into preaching several times, so he was one of often the only man among hundreds and hundreds of women. So God gave him great grace, and he ministered powerfully. And you'll see there, we can just show a short clip. That's Pastor Fred.
Well, we also believe that the Lord has been spoken to you. How many have heard the voice of God during this week? Can you give God a clap offering this week?
And it was a wonderful time. He ministered powerfully on shame, and God just touched so many women in so many ways. It's impossible to cover it all. God really moved powerfully in this time. And we also ended up doing one of their fellowship meetings. And, you know, these women were hungry for God. They've come from all over Uganda. And, you know, they've been fasting and praying and seeking the Lord for this time. And you can see on the right-hand side, well, sorry, it's your, yeah, the right-hand side, the lady in the sort of red dress, you can kind of see her on the far right. This lady is one of Judy's spiritual daughters. And she's telling Judy about her son. She's got five kids, and one of her kids, he's about 8 years old. This blessed me so much, this testimony. So if you're a parent, let it encourage you. But she said, you know, we've already prayed. We know the destiny of our kids. And her 8-year-old son said, you know, I feel God is leading me to do a fast, not like a full fast 24 hours a day, but 12 hours a day for 11 days. And comes towards the end of the 11 days, he said, you know, I feel like God's telling me to extend this fast to 40 days. And so they were like, whoa, okay, I think God's doing something. So God is not only touching the ladies, but as he touches them and they intercede, the next generation is impacted. They really take the promises of God, not only for themselves, but for the next generation. And we really see that as darkness intensifies in the earth, God's raising up among the young people, you know, people who are touched by the accelerated move of the Spirit. And then on the Saturday, Dean and Judy ended up doing a marriage seminar. Ha, 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 you can get to see their picture. They're actually on the promotional material. You can see them somewhere on there. There's Dean up there teaching. And he did some teaching and so on. And then they had a panel of people where they were doing Q&A and so on. It got a little bit deep, so I had to leave. But I was like, oh, I'm going to go at this point. But yeah, I mean, I'd already spoken 4 times there, and I spoke 5 times in Adjumani. So I was ready for a rest at that point. And God just met us. He always, as we heard earlier, he always takes us to a place where he stretches us in our obedience. He stretches us in our faith. He stretches us in our comfort zones. And then he comes through and you go, wow, Lord, look what you did. And so I just want to say, I just want to ask you, if you did pray for this trip, could you please stand? If you were praying either while before we left or while we were there, please, please pray, please stand, because you went. And I want to say thank you. I really want to say thank you. And I want to say thank you not only on our behalf, but on behalf of all the people whose lives you touched through your faith and your obedience to God. And they also asked me to greet all of you and to say that they love you. So can we just please bless all the people that prayed? And I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for praying. And so, yeah, that's me. I'm going to hand over.
All right. If I could have the worship team back. I'd like to kind of finish off our presentation today and do what I believe God's told me to do. As I said to you, we couldn't begin to share with you the significance, the stories. When Dean led the people in healing. He asked the people to stay back in the center if you had experienced healing and give a testimony. Over 1,000 people stayed to give a testimony. Well, we didn't have time for 1,000 testimonies. And so they started taking some testimonies. And I wanted you to hear just a little bit of this because I believe that the same God who poured out His Spirit so powerfully in Uganda is here today. Well, they only took time for about 5 or 6 testimonies. But the first 2 people who came to testify of healing came to the conference totally blind. They went home with 100% sight. I can't imagine it. Never see. Hear how everything is described to you, and you touch, you smell, you taste, but you don't see. And you get on a truck. You can't even tell whose bodies there are crushed against yours. But when you go home, you can see. I wanted you to know that. You share in those victories. So many other testimonies. And the amazing thing is as we said to them, you know, God is going to heal you while we're preaching. One woman came and she had lost her appetite for 3 years. She had to force herself to eat food. She was healed in the meeting. Her appetite was restored. And, you know, God has done so many things. There were a couple of women who were going to come to the leaders' meeting but decided they were separate from each other, that they were so ill they were going to go to the hospital. But they decided the last minute to come to the leaders' meeting. We didn't even know. They'd been experiencing some conditions in their body that had made them so weak they couldn't function. They came to the leaders' meeting, and while they were at the leaders' meeting, without anyone laying hands on them, God healed them. They stood and gave testimony of how strong and vigorous they felt as a result of God's healing touch. There were 2 people who came who, as they would say it, were demented. One of them was a small boy. In the meeting, they were both miraculously delivered. The boy said to his mom, he said, "Mama, I can think straight now." If you're a parent and that was your child, you'd walk different. You got your child back. I couldn't begin to share. There were financial miracles. One woman pastor in this poverty area, just in the conference, we had just spoken and released blessing, healing. Before she left the conference, someone